Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's good to be with you here this evening. This is Sunday, April the 14th, 2024.
Spring is here.
Spring is here. It is hard to believe. You know, everything's so beautiful here.
Yeah, the trees are coming out, flowers, the red buds.
Yeah.
The dogwoods are just starting to come out.
Yep. I have, you know, my dogwoods in my yard are always later than everybody else.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's the shade. There's a little bit of shade.
Right.
I have some big oak trees. But they're going to be beautiful. You can tell already. God is so good. And
yes.
He makes us, even though this world is wasting away, it seems, it's still a beautiful place, isn't it?
He
makes it so beautiful. But we're really glad you're with us, friends. We're here every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on New Visions Radio. First of all, we always like to thank Ray Powers, because if he didn't keep this network going, we wouldn't be here on the air.
Right.
And it's such a blessing to have him working behind the scenes, and we're just grateful for him. And a little bit about this ministry, Prophecies of Hope, Ed, what can you tell us?
Prophecies of Hope is located in Stanton, Virginia, 1743, I can remember the address
this
time, West Beverly Street, and if you're in the area, stop by and see us.
We would love that.
We have our services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the Bible study / prayer time. We have our church services on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study at 9:30, and then our worship hour at 11. And currently, Rick and Mary have started a kind of testimony sharing time on Monday evenings at 7. It's every other Monday.
Right. Yeah. And that also is, it's prayer time where people can come together in prayer. And if you'd like any information about these things, you can email us. How would they reach you, Ed?
You can contact me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can contact me, mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can go to the general email at office@prophecyhope.com. And there, we also have a website, which is prophecyhope.com. And there are archived radio programs on there. There are hundreds of sermons there. And also, you know, I want to encourage you that, well, as we do this program week after week, you know, we always talk about the website and things like that. But more important than looking at those videos is to open your Bible.
Yes.
Open your Bible and read it. Try to do that on a daily basis, even if it's just a couple of chapters or one chapter a day. Right, Ed?
Or maybe 10 minutes, whatever.
Yeah. Or you might say, you know, I have a goal that I'm going to just try to read a chapter of the Bible a day. And if you were going to do that, Ed, where would you recommend if somebody were just going to, maybe they're picking up the Bible for the first time?
I would recommend the book of John.
The book of John. That's a New Testament book.
Right.
That's a gospel.
Yeah.
And it is.
It tells you about Christ and salvation.
Absolutely. And then, you know, once you do that, then you can go back and you can read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which go together along with John. John fills in some details that they don't, though.
Right.
And so, you know, we just want to encourage people to read your Bible, open it up and read it. And if there are questions as you do that, email us, and hopefully we can find a Bible answer to answer those questions that you have.
Well, I've got a question then.
Okay.
Why can't I just listen to my minister or listen to you guys on the radio?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. You know, that maybe we should talk about that in this program. What do you think?
What, does it matter?
I think it does matter, doesn't
it?
So I don't know if there's any more business to conduct. Are we all caught up with everything and thanked everybody except for our Lord and Savior and His Father, right?
Yeah.
So, Ed, would you pray for us?
Sure, let's pray. Father in heaven, we're again grateful for this time we can come together to open your word and to study it and to find out for ourselves what it actually says. So we ask for wisdom and knowledge to understand what your word is saying and to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So the reason I ask that question is so much of the world and so much of the Christian world depends on others to tell them what the Bible says.
Mm. Yeah.
They don't open the Bible for themselves. How many people even bring a Bible to church when they go to church?
Yeah, I know that many don't.
And so how do you know what to believe if you don't open the Bible and study it for yourself?
It's so true. You know, that's the thing. We live in a society where we are told what to think and what to believe without doing any reasoning on our own. So we have to be really careful about that, not only in life in general, but especially when it comes to God's Word, the Bible. And there are people who claim to be experts. They've been, quote-unquote, schooled in these things. Well, what are those schools teaching them?
Yes. You know, sometimes things are presented, truthful things are presented from God's Word, beautiful things of salvation through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Mm. But then they also present falsehoods as well that can lead you astray. So it's important to know for yourself what the Bible says. Now, we had an experience just the other week. We had a gentleman bring some nice little, I don't know, what size would you say, 2x3 cards?
Business. They look like business card size, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, about that size.
Yeah.
And they had some kind of 3D effect to the picture.
They were really neat.
Some beautiful scenery, and they had a nice little Bible verse on the back of it.
There was the message was really good. The message was very good on each one of them.
But the problem was they also had some websites on the back of those cards.
Right.
And when you go to those websites, we found that they teach things differently than what the Bible actually says.
Yes.
And it will lead people astray from the truth of God's Word.
And go ahead. I'm sorry, Ed. I was just, this is, excuse me, this is something that happens so often. And even ministers, like you said just a moment ago, you know, we go to church, many of us do. We go, we sit there, we listen to the minister. But how do we know that what he's saying is right?
Right.
How do we know that? You know, there's a text, a Bible text in Acts chapter 17.
Okay.
And this is what it says. It says, let's see. Now, this is what I'm looking for. I was actually, what am I looking for here? I thought I had it. Acts chapter 17. Oh, I'm in the wrong verse. That's why I couldn't find it. Listen to this in verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away at night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Those were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. But what did they do, Ed? It says,
they searched the scriptures daily. They searched the Bible that they had back in their day daily to see if Paul and Silas were preaching according to the word of God.
So think about that. Here they are, they're ministers, and they're speaking, and people were making sure that what they were saying is true. How many of us do that when we go to church?
Right.
How many of us sit there and listen and say, wait a minute, is that right? And I'm going to be honest, Ed, you and I have both done public speaking.
Yeah.
There have been times that I've given a message, and somebody will come up to me after the message and say, you know, you said this, but look at what the Bible says. And then when I see that, I've had to retract. Now, that's the thing. Is the minister willing to do that?
Yeah. We tell people on a regular basis, whether it's in church or here on the radio, don't believe it because we say it.
Right.
Look into God's Word. Look into the Bible. Study it for yourself. You know, prove it to yourself. So it's your faith, not ours, that you're depending on.
And how can you do that unless you're reading the Word of God?
Right.
And you know, sometimes when we read these passages, they're difficult. Mm-hmm. They can be tough. But what is it, you know, if I just pick a verse and I just read that verse, what's the danger in that? If I just take it and I say, well, this says ABC.
Well, most of the time when preachers do that, they're trying to prove a point that either their church teaches or they personally believe. And it's dangerous because it's often taken out of the context of the account that's written there.
Yes.
And they can make it say things that it doesn't say.
So, and you know, the thing is, if the preacher does that, then oftentimes what happens is the person that's sitting there begins to do that because we look up to the preacher.
Well, oftentimes they'll go to a text and quote what the preacher says it says versus what the words on the page say it says.
Ah, yeah.
And when you stop somebody and say, let's open the Bible and see what it says. Let's read around it and see what it says. They'll say, oh, I never saw that.
You know, there's a text that I'm...
Now, just so people are clear, we've been together, what, since 2012, Mark?
Yes.
Have our understanding of the Bible changed at all during that time?
Yes.
Drastically.
Yes, because we see things that are there that we never saw before. And it's not that God's message has changed. It's my understanding has changed
I'm
learning.
We're reading the Bible, studying in depth, comparing Scripture to Scripture.
That's right. You know, a real good example of something that people read and they take the wrong way is John chapter 14.
Yes.
And
before we go there, can I add one text to your Acts 17 text?
Yes.
If we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to read verses 15 through 18.
Okay.
And this is Paul's counsel to Timothy. In verse 15, it says, study earnestly to present yourselves approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be honest about what it says, but shun profane, vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their word will eat like a gangrene, among whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have erred concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and who overthrow the faith of some. Notice what he's telling him there. Study for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
See what it says. Be honest about what it says, because look at these two people who have told falsehoods and have convinced people and have overthrown the faith of some.
You know, what's amazing about this text, Ed, is my Bible says that the New King James, their message will spread like cancer.
Yeah.
You know, cancer eats things up, and false messages will eat you up, and they'll take you away from God and His Son.
And the plan of salvation.
Absolutely. And so when this text really means a lot to me, because I grew up in a church that taught that the resurrection had already happened.
Yeah.
And that's what this is teaching.
Right.
They teach that the first resurrection is going on today. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere.
Where's the evidence of it?
You see, this is, and that's the thing, millions of people believe that because the leaders of the church are saying it. There's danger in that.
Yeah.
Great danger. And that's what Paul's warning Timothy of right here.
Well, this episode that we had in our own church, two gentlemen actually were involved in this.
Right.
And they were very well-meaning. They wanted to...
Absolutely.
They want to preach God's word. They want to preach the gospel of salvation to everyone. And they just weren't aware.
Right.
One immediately saw the issue.
Right.
The other one was a little upset at first.
Sure, sure. And you know, rightfully so. I mean, you know, whenever I get opposition, it bothers me.
Yeah.
And I think that's just part of our nature, you know, to be that way. But how do we deal with it when it happens?
Right. And what we did is just one of us just went to that website and started reading what was on there to them and asked the question, is this of God?
Right. And of course, you know, because someone likes the message that's on the cards, the natural thing is to try to defend yourself. You know, I always try to defend myself. But you know, the beauty of it is that we don't let those things divide us as brothers.
Right.
So the individual said what was on their mind, and we just kind of moved forward.
Right.
And we're still brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right. Now I know this person would not want to lead anyone astray.
No. I know that too.
And so, you know, things got worked out. But sometimes you have to address things like that.
So I think the point that needs to be made here is when the defense was being made for the side that was in error, it was almost as if it really doesn't matter.
Right.
All that matters is the gospel. Well, you know, if the gospel has something false, then it's a false gospel.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't get into those things. We just kind of let it go out.
Right.
But does it really matter, Ed?
Well, yes. You just made me think of Paul in Galatians.
Okay.
Let me just go to chapter 1.
All right.
And he starts out with a greeting in verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That's a greeting for today.
Mm-hmm.
To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you so soon are being moved away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but some are troubling you and desiring to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach a gospel to you besides what we preach to you, let him be accursed.
Mm.
As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches the gospel to you besides what you have received, let him be accursed. And going on to verse 11, and brothers, I make known to you the gospel which was preached by me, that is not according to man, for I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, except by a revelation of Jesus Christ. Talking about his experience with Christ on the road to Damascus.
That's right.
But he's saying, be careful. Don't let people preach to you another Jesus, another gospel.
You know, this the greeting that he gives right before where you started in verse 3, many people don't believe what this says.
Yeah.
It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead.
Right.
So many people preach a different gospel than what that says.
Yes.
They don't believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Right. Some people don't believe that Jesus really died, for one thing.
Right.
Some people believe that or preach that Jesus raised himself up. Of course, if you're dead, how do you raise yourself up?
It's impossible.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. People will say, well, all things are possible with God. Well, I think that's true, but Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
So he could not raise himself if he was dead. If you're dead, right. You know not anything.
So it makes a difference that you open and read the Bible for yourself to know for yourself what it says, because there are so many different ideas and thoughts, false ideas from God that people claim are from God's Word that lead people astray. Away from the truth of God's word, to a different Jesus,
yes.
To a different gospel than what the Bible actually talks about.
And this is a dangerous thing. And so when we get to the point in our ministry, if we get to a point to where we say, well, all we have to do, this person said, it's all about Jesus, it's all about Jesus. And, you know, the gospel is about Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's about the one who sent Jesus as well. It's not all about Jesus.
Right.
Ultimately, it's God.
Father of Christ.
The Father of Jesus Christ. He is the giver of life.
Yes.
He gives life to all living things and beings.
Even Jesus said in John, I live because of the Father.
Yes. In fact, I'm just going to look at that text, John chapter 5. And this is the Gospel of John. This is the Gospel that she said would be a good one to read. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, and in verse 26, it says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has given the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man.
Yeah.
So all authority and all life comes from Jesus Father, from Jesus God, from our God, from our Father. So Jesus has a God, Jesus has a Father.
Can you read John 6:57?
Sure. John 6:57, New King James. It says, as the living Father sent me, this is Jesus speaking, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me.
There's a sequence of events there.
Yeah, there's order to things.
God having sent his Son, and Jesus acknowledging that I live through the Father, so that he who partakes of me, even he shall live by me.
Yes. You know, reading the words on the page, understanding what they say, checking to make sure that what we're hearing is true. Even these things we're saying right now.
Right. Read for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there's different churches out in the world, at least in the United States, where have a common practice of going door to door, trying to tell others about what their church teaches or preaches. And I had an experience a number of years ago with two young men. I was out in my front yard. I was working in my front yard. And they come by. They offered to help me with anything I needed help with.
That was nice.
Yeah, it was. And they're probably early 20s, I would say.
Yeah.
And so it turned into a Bible discussion. And we went inside and had prayer and opened the Bible and started talking about some things. And they came back maybe, I think, it was the next week, and we continued that discussion. And for some reason, I don't know why, we were on the topic of what happens when you die.
Hmm.
And I was presenting them from the Bible. I told them, I only want to study the Bible. I don't want to study any of your church literature because I want to know what the Bible says.
Right.
And so you went to Bible verses that talks about what happened when you die. And after the end of the second study, I didn't realize what was happening, but this particular church, much of their belief system is based on that they were alive before they became a human being, and they'll live forever spiritually somehow after that. And they could see from what we had studied in the Bible that when you die, you're not conscious of anything.
Right.
And one of the young men said, I know our books are true. They've got to be true.
Talking about their church publications.
Yeah. And he realized, he saw what the Bible said was different than what their church taught.
Mm.
So it matters.
It does matter. You know, what are we going to believe? Are we going to be a student of the Bible or a student of the doctrines of our church?
Right.
And I found in my lifetime, Ed, I found that while I thought I was a student of the Bible, I actually knew my church doctrine better than I knew the Bible.
Right.
And then when it came to supporting what I believed, many of the texts that I would choose were texts that I was taught to choose.
Right.
And they said what the church wanted them to say. But if you read it in context, it changes the whole meaning.
Right.
And so this is why when we have these Bible studies on the air, we encourage you to get out your Bible and open it up and look at what we're reading. Read it with your own eyes.
Yes.
And make sure we're not adding to or taking away. Read the surrounding verses. Read what's leading up to those verses.
Read other verses that talk about the same subject.
Yes.
And gather them together.
These things are very, very important to make sure. You know, go ahead.
Now, if you're just starting to read the Bible for the first time, there's a lot of information there.
It can be overwhelming.
It's going to take a while to build up knowledge.
It does.
Here's what I've done in the past. As I read along, verses that stand out to me, I'll actually physically write them in a notebook.
I see.
So I can remember where they're at.
Good.
Just go back through the notebook and see where they're at. Or what I do as I study and prepare to teach or prepare to speak, I'll gather things together. I use the Bible program software, and it has the ability on a particular verse that you can add notes to that verse.
Mm.
And typically, I just add other Bible verses that I find. So anything that has to do with the subject at hand that talks about another place of the Bible, I'll just add to where that verse is in my study notes. And that way, as I study along and then go back to that later on, I'll have all these other extra notes that give me more information about what the Bible is talking about.
That's really good. So one of those programs is eSort?
This is eSort. It's free. They have, I don't know how many Bibles you can download. There are many of them are free. There are some that I'm sure they have a contract with that you have to pay for. Mm-hmm. But there are many. I have maybe 20 on my computer right now. They're all free.
Right.
Modern as well as older versions of the Bible.
And what's nice about this particular program is that when you download it, it's on your computer, so you don't have to have internet service to use it. But if you
can underline, you can highlight things, you can write notes, and the individual verses that you're studying, you can have a topic. They have topic notes, and you just list everything among that topic. For example, I don't know, I have a lot of topics. baptism.
Okay.
So that's my topic. And underneath baptism, I have all these texts that talk about baptism in the Bible.
Nice.
So that's another way you can study. You can study by the subject you're studying versus just reading a book at a time. Either way is a great way to study.
And you can do word search in the Bible text.
As long as you can spell.
You have to be able to spell.
That's what I find. So occasionally I try that in the software I have, but more often I just go to Google because they don't care that you can't spell. They'll figure it out.
They seem to correct it pretty well.
Yeah, and so I just find where the texts are located. Very rarely will I read the commentary on whatever website that it brings me to. I just want to know where the texts are on the Bible.
Now, one question that I have while I'm thinking about it is on your software, this eSword, when you highlight something, do you have a username or something that if you have it on another computer that it transfers to that, or is it strictly on your
It's
laptop?
Strictly on this computer, but it has, I don't know what to call it. You can copy your study notes to a drive and put them on another computer, or the topic notes, or the markings. They have files, three different files for those aspects. You can copy those and put them on another computer.
I'll have to get you to show me how to do that. Yeah. Because I have eSword, but I don't. I actually, most of the time when I'm developing a sermon, when I'm developing a sermon, I use Bible Gateway.
All right.
Because it's very quick, and I have web service there,
Right.
And I can copy and paste for the PowerPoint slides.
Right.
But so, friends, as you're studying these things, use those programs, Bible Gateway, eSword. There's a bunch of them.
And they're
out
all
there.
Free.
Yes, they are. They're all free. So the thing is, we were talking, too, about making sure that these things do make a difference if we believe one way or another.
Right.
And, if we look at a simple verse like John 3:16,
right.
So many people will read just that verse. But let's read around that verse.
Yes, yes.
Ed, where would you start in John chapter 3?
If you want to get the context, you would start in the very beginning of the verse where Nicodemus has come to Jesus Christ that night.
Right.
And he's testing him. He's feeling him out to see if he really is the Messiah.
Right.
And so he's asking questions, and they're having this conversation, and Jesus talks about being born again. You have to be born of water and of the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. And a lot of people don't understand this conversation continues, and John 3:16 is part of this conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus.
And just so people know, Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. He's a Pharisee.
Yeah.
So here he is. He's a teacher, and he's not quite sure that this guy's who he says he is, right? Even though he knows what the Bible, what the Old Testament says.
Right.
So go ahead.
And so like in John 14, let me just read John 3:14 through 21.
Sure.
Now, remember, Nicodemus knows all the history of the nation. So Jesus says, "But even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. He who believes on him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who hates evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his works may be revealed, that they exist, having been worked in God. So this whole conversation, that's first part of John chapter 3, is Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus.
Yes. And so most people, when they read John chapter 3, they're familiar with verse 16, but not these surrounding verses.
Right.
And there's so much in this one verse of John 3:16. We're talking about, does it make a difference? Does it make a difference? It, you know, is it just what my preacher says? For God, go ahead, Ed. I'm sorry.
Well, just look at that first phrase, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world, for the most part, is disobedient to God.
True.
They do not follow what he tells them to do. We don't recognize God as the rightful authority in our life because he created the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then it says he gave his only begotten Son. What kind of love is that, that someone would give his only begotten Son? And we know what the word begotten means.
Yes. Born.
Born of God.
Right.
And so, what kind of love do you have for someone who doesn't do you right, who mocks you, who says bad things about you, who doesn't believe in you, who performs great evil against you?
And think about not only the love that God has for allowing these things to happen to his Son, but the truth that's expressed here that most people truly don't believe, that God actually has a Son,
right,
that he gave his begotten Son.
His only begotten Son.
That's right. For you.
There was a risk of eternal loss.
Absolutely.
There was no guarantee that this was going to be successful.
That's right.
God had faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, and Christ had faith in his Father.
That's right.
That
That's
he
right.
would do what he said he would do, and that Christ's life on this earth was acceptable to his Father. He was tempted in all ways like we, yet without sin. And Christ believed that he would be faithful in raising him up from the grave after his death on the cross. Of course, that death, that blood shed was to cover our sins, my sins.
Right.
So we would have the opportunity for eternal life.
Amen. And so again, right there in John 3:16, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why is it that when people read this, they don't believe that we either have eternal life or eternal death?
Yes.
Because perishing means death. It means you know nothing. If my thoughts perish, my thoughts don't exist anymore.
You know, I was going on a motorcycle ride yesterday.
Yeah.
I went past this church, and I was shocked by the sign. It said, do you want to live forever or die forever?
Wow.
They understood.
That, yeah, because most people think that you get either eternity either in heaven or burning in hell.
Yeah.
And so you're either alive forever or you're dead forever. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing to me because the vast majority of Christians don't understand that.
Don't believe that.
They don't believe it. And this is what we're talking about, friends. This is the whole premise of what we're talking about today is your pastors are telling you one thing, but the Bible is telling you something else many times, not always.
If you want to know what the truth is, open the Bible and read it for yourself.
That's it.
If you really want to know, you'll take the time. And it does take time. But God has given you promises in his word. He has given you the promise in James chapter 1. If you lack wisdom or knowledge, ask for it, and he will give it to you. That's why always, almost always, when we pray, I ask for God's wisdom and knowledge as we open the Bible and study the Word. Mm-hmm. And Christ's promise in John 16 says he'd send the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth.
Yes. And so these things are, it's important that we talked about prayer the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
We talked about that and the power of prayer and testimonies and things like that. So it's very important that when we read the Bible, that we understand and know and pray to God for that understanding.
We went through John 3:16 for an example. But as long as we're talking about the gospel, let's keep talking about the gospel. Let's go
Absolutely.
To Romans chapter 5.
That'll be great.
Some people can look at their life and realize, hey, I'm not doing what I should be doing. I'm not doing what's right. Hmm. How can I ever be acceptable to God?
Isn't that a daily thing, though? I mean, don't you daily look back and say, wow, maybe I shouldn't have honked my horn so long at that person that wouldn't move when I wanted them to move.
Or maybe I shouldn't have said what I said.
Yeah.
Or even thought what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and people have this idea that we have to reach a certain standard of holiness, for lack of a better word, in order to be acceptable to God. But that isn't what the gospel is about. Mm. The gospel is, because we're in this situation, because we're in this sinful condition, because we live in this evil world, that's why God sent his Son. Mm. Not that we have to reach a certain standard, but because we can't reach a certain standard, that he sent his Son to die for us while we were still sinners.
Right.
Verse 8 of Romans 5 says, but God commends his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before that, in verse 6, it says, for we yet being without strength to be obedient to God, to do and live life the way God intended us to live, mm-hmm. in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will with difficulty die for a righteous one, yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm. What this is really saying is, come as you are. Don't wait. Because it is Christ that makes the changes in your heart and mind and in your life that empowers you to overcome the sin in your life. Mm-hmm. But first, you must receive him and this gift of forgiveness for your past sins. And this is a free gift.
Yes.
You can't reimburse God for it. You can't repay him. You can't make up for what this gift is. It's totally free. All you have to do is accept it.
And here's the thing. So many people and so many preachers, they believe what you just said. But the problem is they want to continue living the way that we live.
Right. That's not why God sent his Son.
No, it's not. He didn't send Jesus to die for us so that we could continue to sin.
Think about it. For God so loved the world, knowing the condition of my heart, knowing the sin in my life, knowing that I can't overcome sin by myself, mm-hmm. he sent his Son to die in my place to pay the penalty mm-hmm. for my sin.
I mean, that's what you just read in Romans 5:8.
Yeah. So, if sin is so evil that it required the life of his Son, the only possible way for salvation of mankind, God sent his Son to die for my sins so I can continue to live in sin?
No. No. And it's unfortunate that this is what many people believe, Ed. It makes a difference what we believe.
Yes.
Because if I continue in the lifestyle that I had before I knew Christ, then how can Christ dwell in me?
No, he can't.
He can't.
So let's continue reading in Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, from the wrath of God, from the rightful justice that God's law requires
right.
for those that disobey. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the life that he now wants to live within us to help us overcome sin in our lives. Because Jesus has this experience here on this earth. He was made in all ways like his brothers, Hebrews 2 says.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has the same experience, the same insults from Satan, from temptations. Yet Christ was tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin. He knows how to overcome sin. He had the faith in his Father. He trusted totally in him, and he endured the temptations of Satan, and now he can help us do the same. He has the experience.
And so, as we've studied many times in the past, what we're saying here is that it's the life of Christ, the Spirit of Christ that can live in us, that can help us to overcome.
Galatians chapter 4.
It's not another person.
No, it's not another person.
And so this is another thing. This was one of the topics that was on that website,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes.
And people say, well, it really doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference.
Who else but Jesus Christ had the experience of coming to this earth as a human being?
The Father didn't.
Romans 8 says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Right.
Hebrews 2 says he was made in all ways like his brothers.
That's right.
Hebrews 2 says he was perfected through his sufferings. He was perfected to be our mediator, our comforter, our advocate, our intercessor.
Yes.
Because he's had this experience on this earth.
You know, I know we've said this, but it needs to be said often. Christ has experienced things the Father hasn't.
Yes.
He experienced the human condition.
He experienced death.
Yes. And he experienced what it was like to have a will that may not have been what his Father wanted, but to give his will up to do the will of the Father.
Right.
This is what he wants us to do. This is what we're called to do.
Right.
We're saved by his life, and that he helps us to overcome like he overcame.
Yes, the promises in God's Word that have to do with this are just wonderful. If we go to Galatians 4.
Okay.
I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. It says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, coming into being out of a woman, having come under law, so that he might redeem those under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Now, before you go on, that doesn't say sent another spirit.
No.
What does it say again?
The Spirit of his Son.
That's Jesus. Okay, so I didn't mean to stop you, but
no.
I wanted to emphasize this in the context of what you're reading.
Right.
So go
it goes on to say in verse 7, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, also an heir of God through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Paul makes it personal to himself. We go to Galatians chapter 2. And Mark, can you read verses 15 through 21?
Sure. It says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of law no flesh shall be justified.
So the faith of Jesus, Jesus' faith on this earth was in his Father,
yes,
to be obedient to him, to the point of speaking only the words that his Father gave him to speak. The miracles that he accomplished on this earth were for the power of the Spirit of God, his Father, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of his Father.
Yes.
He trusted completely in his Father. This is the faith of Jesus that brings about this ability to have Christ living in us.
So we can have the faith that Christ had.
Yes.
And just think of how powerful that is. Look at what he went through. Look
yes.
at what he overcame.
It wasn't easy.
No. And here he was. He came to this earth and bore the sins not just of me, but of the whole world,
right,
of everyone.
He bore our guilt, our shame, our embarrassment.
Mm.
He became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God through him.
So again, what you just said, he became sin for us that, how did you put that? He became sin for us.
That we can become the righteousness of God through him.
That's a direct quote from the Bible.
Yes, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 5.
I noticed that it didn't say that you can continue living in sin and he forgives you because he's got your back.
Jesus talks about those that live in sin are slaves of sin or servants of sin, and that the Son of God will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed.
Yeah. You know, it's so beautiful. And I know, look, I know what it feels like to sit there and hear these words and say, that's impossible.
Right.
No. I'll never get to that point. You know, that's what we think. And I'm sure there are people that are going to hear this program or listening right now, or maybe they're listening to it once it's recorded and on the website, that are going to say, I can never get there. Christ will get you there.
It's not yourself that can do
it. That's right.
It's Jesus only that can do that.
That's right.
Put your faith in him and the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Let's continue to read Galatians chapter 2 and see what Paul has to say about this.
Okay. We stopped at verse 17.
Yes.
You want me to continue there?
Yes, please.
Just stop me wherever you want me to stop.
Okay.
But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain.
So Paul is talking about here, he's always battling the Jews in terms of the legalism of the Jewish nation, you know, circumcision, not eating the meats of idols
or
separating
sacrifice.
The Jews and the Gentiles when they eat a meal together, and just on and on and on. And he says, that's not going to provide any salvation. Salvation is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You have to have faith in him. This is Jesus is the grace of God, this gift of God that he's given us. This is the promise that he gave Abraham, that he would send Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Not only that, but that after his death on the cross and being raised again, he would send the Spirit of Christ into our hearts to help us overcome sin in our lives.
Again, it says it. You know, it's amazing how many times the Bible says this. Right there in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Yes.
Not another spirit.
Right.
Not another person. It's Christ in you.
Yes.
And, you know, this is the thing that, these are the things that people read, and they don't see the words on the page because they've been taught something different by their pastor.
Right.
And when people say, well, it doesn't really matter, just preach the gospel. Well, this is the gospel.
Here's part of the problem. People are only preaching the first half of the gospel.
And explain what you mean by that.
They're only preaching John 3:16 in terms of the death of Christ on the cross.
Right.
So let's say I've accepted this gift of Jesus' death on the cross in my place.
Right.
His death is punishment for my sins.
Right.
Now I've been reconciled to God through his death because now my sins have been erased.
Right.
But now what? I still have life to live on this evil earth.
Right.
I still have Satan tempting me. How do I maintain that status of reconciliation?
And see, that's the thing. Christ is no longer in the tomb.
Right.
He died for you. So that's the first half of the gospel. The second half is that he does live.
Yes.
Right? And he can live in you.
Yes.
Not another spirit in you, not another being in you, but Christ in you to help you overcome.
And through that, he can empower you, enable you to overcome the sin in your lives.
Absolutely.
Is it easy? No.
No, it's not.
Is it worth it? Yes.
It is truly worth it. And, you know, when you say, is it easy, you know, just the things that come up in daily life, we have to constantly remind ourselves. We have to constantly ask God to help me do your will.
What does Paul say? Pray without ceasing.
Yes. So that means never stop.
Yeah.
Without ceasing.
Constantly involved God and his son in your life and whatever you're experiencing through the day.
Something that I
whether
need
it's to, issues driving,
yeah,
we all have that, you know,
right.
Something, or things you think about, things you see on TV or the internet or politics today are just huge in the U.S. right now, just yeah. going after each other like crazy.
They are, and you don't know what to believe,
yeah.
you know, but we know we can believe God's word. It's trustworthy. It's dependable. You know, one of the things that I need to work on, Ed, and you said, pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible tells us. Have you ever had a conversation or met someone and it's like you just didn't have enough time to talk about all of the things that you wanted to talk about,
yeah.
and the conversation could just go on and on and on, and you think, wow, I wish we had more time to talk. You know, this is how we should be with God. But the problem is most of us don't have that kind of a relationship with God.
Yeah.
But it should be an ongoing conversation, nonstop. Whether you're driving or walking or whatever you're doing, if you're especially when you're alone, don't fill your mind with the garbage that's on the radio
right.
and it's on YouTube and all of this stuff. Open God's Word and just ask him to fill your heart
yeah.
with Christ Jesus. You know, these are such important things. And again, it's not another person.
Right.
It's Christ. And it's so important, as you mentioned, because he's had this experience.
You know, let's quick go to Romans 6. I'm not sure how much time we have left, but let's talk about the practicality of this. Let me start in Romans 6:2, or actually 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Because God's grace has given us his son, the death of his son.
Mm.
He says, let it not be in verse 2. How shall we who die to sin live in it any longer?
There it is.
Do you not know, are you not aware, that as many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life.
So it's a lifestyle change.
Yes.
We need to be changed.
Right.
Right? And we need to be changed now so that when Christ comes, we can be changed for eternity.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're going to be changed in an instant, in the blink of an eye. So our character needs to be more like Christ.
Right. We're not, when Christ comes again, he's not going to change our minds and hearts some miraculous way. We're going to have the character that we have.
That's right. And that's why we need to be ready now.
Right.
Now is the day of salvation. And you know, Ed, this is a beautiful text to me because this, Romans 6, helped me probably as much as any text in the Bible to recognize that the life that I live now is so important.
Because, yes.
Because if you think about it, you know, all of my life I was taught that, well, when Jesus comes back, we'll be changed and I won't have the desire to sin anymore. Well, I need to have the desire to not sin anymore now.
Right.
And that's what Romans is telling us.
Yeah, let's keep reading here in verse 5. It says, for if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, that old man of sin, is crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. For he who has died has been justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. knowing that when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once. But that in that he lives to God. Likewise, count yourselves truly to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. That grace God has given us of giving us his Son to die for us, and now he's given the life through the Spirit of Christ of his Son to live in us, to empower us to overcome sin.
So this is saying that we can overcome now.
Yes.
By the Spirit of Christ, by God sending the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, we can cry, Abba, Father.
Right.
Right?
If you're struggling with something in your life, bring it before God.
Amen.
Claim the power of a living Christ. Ask for forgiveness. Claim victory over it in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And this is a perfect place to stop. We're out of time. Thanks for wrapping that up like that. Let's have a prayer together,
right,
shall we? Father in heaven, it's just such a blessing to be here this evening, and we just thank you for your word. Father, we just ask that people who are listening to this program, that they will be accountable and want to make a decision for you and your Son. Help them, Father, to recognize that your word is truth, that you want to help them, that you want to help each and every one of us to overcome. Father, please send the Spirit of your Son into our hearts that we may cry, Abba, Father. And Father, we just look forward to eternal life with you and your Son. So please be with us until we come together again. We thank you so much for this time together. We pray and thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thank you for the study. And I think we found out it does make a difference,
yes,
doesn't it? So, friends, we hope you'll tune in again next week right here on New Visions Radio next Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.